This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. The swirl of Hurricane Isabel, the storm that relinquished much of its power along the East Coast but continues to run amok over cable and local news channels. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore is off this week, so we are joined by Michael Kinsley, who's the founding editor of Slate Magazine and a regular contributor on NPR's Day to Day, joins us from our studios in New York. Thought we'd add a little visual interest with that sound, Michael. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Scott. That was very vivid. You know,
stand there. Withstand these winds now, Michael.
Well, before they blow me away, it's hard for a pundit to deal with a weather story. A hurricane is a big, big deal, but there are no informed sources. There's no speculation that it might run for president. The whole language of punditry has nothing to add. All you can say is it was a big, big, big hurricane. Yeah. And having said that, I suggest we move on.
All right. I should note all that name recognition, and it can't even run for governor of California in the recall election.
It might win.
Let's turn now to the other driving stories of the week, if you please. President Bush is going to address the United Nations on Tuesday. He said he's skeptical that any kind of agreement for other nations to enter Iraq with any kind of campaign can be put together before he makes that speech on Tuesday. At the same time, how is the U.S. approach going?
Well, the Bush administration is now fighting this war on three fronts. One is the United Nations, one is Iraq itself, and one is here at home. And at the UN, as you say, we want a resolution of support for the rebuilding effort, and we want money from other countries. Our allies want the UN to take over the whole effort sooner rather than later, but haven't anteed up much money, less than $1 billion, I think, so far. So everyone, I think, is in a mood to cooperate more than a few weeks ago, but there's still a lot of contradictions.
Germany and France, Germany in particular, now indicate that they will help train an Iraqi police force even if there's not a UN resolution. Now, one diplomat is quoted as saying that these are early steps in what he or she called a mating dance. Are they at least steps towards heavy petting?
Well, Scott, I'm shocked. The French are even starting to sound cooperative. And in terms of training police, events may pass that over, because in Iraq, the interesting development this week was these various local leaders have said they'll take over the security situation so the U.S. can pull back its troops to the bases and off the streets, if not home. This is promising in a way. On the other hand, another name for a local leader is a warlord. And we don't want Iraq to turn into Somalia or Lebanon, a place which is sort of run by cauldrons of intramural fighting among warlords.
Last Sunday in Meet the Press, Vice President Cheney seemed to imply that there was a connection, as he understood it, between Saddam Hussein and the September 11th attacks. And those remarks were made in response to a recent poll showing that I believe 69% of Americans believe such a connection exists. This week, President Bush says, quote, "We have no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with September 11th. What do you take from this apparent contradiction between these two men who are obviously known to be very close?
Well, the administration has tried very, very ardently to imply that there is a connection between Saddam Hussein and September 11th. There is, in fact, no evidence. Cheney took the implication a bit too far, and Bush was forced to concede that there was no evidence. This is actually a good thing, I think, for them as well as for the country. It gets the administration on the right side of the truth on this really important issue.
Retired Army General Wesley Clark has announced he will run for the presidency as a Democrat, former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO, Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. European Command. Why do you think he's running now? What are his chances?
Well, there's three he's running because he'd like to be president. The question is
I said running now, Michael, okay? Like to be president. I meant, why is he? And I'm sure many things to commend your candidacy. I'm just wondering why he's getting in after everybody else. What does that mean?
Let me give you three things that would not commend my candidacy, but commend his to many Democrats. He's a general. He can protect them from the charge that they're weak on defense. He's a centrist. Some people think the party needs saving from Howard Dean, the current frontrunner, because he's too left-wing to win against George Bush. They like Clark for that reason. The third reason, I think the most important one, is he's none of the above. Someone like this appears in many of our elections, like Ross Perot. I'm sure people remember him. A man on a white horse who's going to come in and rid the country of all those icky politicians. There's three problems, though. Mm-hmm. One, once he starts running, he's just another icky politician, and he's not one of none of the above any longer. Number two, he has no political experience and no governing experience, which is appealing in the short run. But in the long run, I think people tend to think, shouldn't you have been a governor or at least a senator before you run for president? And the third problem is he has no apparent views on any domestic issues and very vague views on foreign policy issues, and he's going to need to develop some of those.
I think until this week, a lot of people would have preferred, rather than being president, to be Dick Grasso with that $140 million salary package. But, of course, Mr. Grasso, former chairman, CEO of the New York Stock Exchange, had to step down this week. What does his departure mean for the trading exchange?
Well, he was forced to step down by the directors who had approved the contract that paid him all this money. So the cynical view is they offered him the money and then they fired him for accepting it. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit like that old TV commercial. How would you like a nice Hawaiian punch? Sure, kapow. How would you like $140 million? Sure, kapow, you're fired. And the critics are saying the people who should be fired are the directors who approved this ridiculous amount of money. And this is causing some major reconsideration of how the New York Stock Exchange is run. It is a regulatory agency as well as a stock exchange, and half the directors or thereabouts come from the brokerage houses that they're supposed to be regulating, and they set the salary of the guy who's supposed to regulate them. And everyone now agrees that has to be cleaned up.
World Trade Organization talks came apart this week in Cancun when the participants couldn't reconcile a dispute over agricultural subsidies. And the disagreement does seem to pit this association, I believe they're called the G22, G29, poorer nations of the world against wealthier states. Is this an issue that has room for compromise or reconciliation?
Well, it should, because free trade is good for everybody. And no one really has to sacrifice for it. But it is tough because there are interests within the various countries. The United States and Europe, the rich countries, spend $300 billion a year subsidizing our farmers, which produces huge surpluses of food, which we dump in the third world. Well, we tell these third world countries, you ought to have free markets, you ought to practice free trade, and then we wipe out the one industry which a poor country ought to be able to develop, which is farming. They can't build cars yet. They can't build silicon chips. They've got to move up the economic scale to that. They've got to start with food. And not only do we not let them sell the food to us, but we prevent them from selling the food to their own people.
And a quick question to end with this week, Michael. A Federal Trade Panel released a report yesterday saying that steel tariffs have been a failure. Do you expect in an election year the administration will in fact drop those tariffs?
I do not think so. Every administration, especially Republican administrations, comes in proclaiming free trade, and then politically it's very hard to follow through.
Okay. Thanks very much, Michael Kinsley, founding editor of Slate Magazine in New York. Thanks.
Thank you, Scott. It was fun.